When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, and for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the others rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
This is the last Sunday in the church year. During this year, we've come through the birth, life, and death of Jesus. We've come through Easter and Pentecost. And now we find ourselves standing once again before the crucified Christ. In today's reading, Jewish leaders and Roman soldiers mockingly attach names that they associate with dominating authority to Jesus. They call on Jesus to act like a Messiah and free himself. Roman soldiers mock Jesus with the title King of the Jews as he suffers the most painful and humiliating execution that the Roman Empire could devise. In Luke's text, the Jewish leaders, neither them nor the Roman soldiers, believe that the crucified man could in any way be the image of a person of power, like a king or a Messiah. To them, God's power is the power to dominate. They believe that by being able to kill and torture Jesus, they are demonstrating that Jesus does not represent the power of the God of Israel or the gods of Rome. In the juxtaposition of the titles of power and the utter vulnerability of Jesus on the cross, this text points to a central theme in the Christian faith. Jesus on the cross is the Messiah because he is the antithesis of what most people back then and most people today would call powerful. There are two primary ways to deal with the difference between Jesus on the cross and the popular notion of power. One is to say that Jesus fails to fit it. Jesus isn't the Messiah, as many Jewish people came to believe. Many Christians also believe that Christ on the cross isn't the image of God's power. They believe Jesus is coming back, and then he will be ready to use violence to achieve a righteous order, just like a real leader would do. But Luke here is pushing hard on the comparison between the crucified Jesus and the titles Messiah and King. Luke, by these comparisons, is proclaiming that Jesus is exactly what the Jewish leadership and the Roman soldiers mock him for not being. Jesus is not the dominant notion of the power and the authority of a God of domination, but he is God's idea of a leader. And for that to be true, our understanding of God must divert from what most people think of when they think of God. To believe that the crucified Christ is the image of the power of God is to abandon traditional notions of what a ruler is and does. To believe that is to step away from the power that has brought a particular kind of order to human civilization, an order that works well for some and is abusive to others. To accept Jesus on the cross as the image of true leadership is to change how we see God and the world. In order to shoehorn Christ on the cross into the common notion of God, Christians made Jesus into God's sacrificial lamb and not the image of leadership. Jesus as sacrifice is a one-off. No one else is called to risk the cross. But Jesus told his followers to pick up their cross and to follow him. That's because Jesus, as a leader, was leading his followers into the very same risky path of opposing people with the power to imprison and kill. Jesus on the cross is not suffering so we don't have to. He is leading us into the nonviolent struggle against violent injustice. Christ on the cross is the ultimate denunciation of the power of violence. And as such, it is the ultimate connection between God and those who are the victims of violence. The cross forever ties the followers of this God to the struggle of impoverished and oppressed people. The jarring juxtaposition between hopeful aspiration and destructive agony sits at the heart of this text. And it's in the horror and the sadness of the scene that we are ultimately challenged to examine our own values and actions. The cross challenges our assumptions that personal security and power over others are measures of our success. The cross challenges the way we have organized our civilization around the use of fear and greed to achieve order. The cross challenges conservative notions that order stemming from violence is in any way righteous. The cross challenges liberal assumptions that if we are pleasant and broad-minded enough, that the world will eventually evolve into a place of peace and possibility for all. The cross challenges us to see that the good news of Jesus may not be received with joy, but with hostility. Conflict, loss, weariness, and suffering are not desired goals, but they are likely outcomes of following the path of Jesus. The cross stands as a challenge to all those who seek hope at someone else's expense, and is a challenge to those who want good things to come as a byproduct of our good intentions. The followers of Jesus, for those followers, change often comes through costly conflict. The challenge of the cross is real, but so is the hope. The hope of the cross is the hope that comes to people who are suffering, a hope that proclaims that God will not abandon us even in the worst of times. Jesus on the cross is a sign of our power. It is the power that comes through a radical and risky solidarity with those who suffer. It is the power that comes from a determination to stand up for what's right no matter the cost. It is the power that elicits empathy and not fear. It's not the hope that some strong ruler will use benevolent violence to give good people security. It is the hope that the faithful, the excluded, and the oppressed will be empowered to create a world where security for all arises from providing justice for all. It is the power that sees beyond today's costly struggle to the hope of a new and better world. It is the hope that comes not through magical intervention, but through radical reorientation. It is a hope that does not trickle down from privilege, but flows up from seemingly powerless people awakened to their power to make the world better. At first, the followers of Jesus looked at the cross and saw only the destruction of their hopes. It took a while. But in time, they began to understand. They abandoned their fears and embraced the call to live and struggle as Jesus did. They became the power of the resurrection. And no matter how many times violence was used to silence them, they came back again and again, gaining strength as powerless people joined in the struggle and celebrated the hope. I don't believe that God put Jesus on the cross. I don't believe that God wants anyone to suffer like that. God's power is the ability to take that instrument of intimidation and turn it into a sign of hope and solidarity. Challenging the powers that be is neither easy nor painless. Struggle and loss is part of the package, but hope, real hope, is also part of the package. To see hope in bleak times is an important skill. It is a skill that the world desperately needs. But seeing hope is only half of the effort needed. We're called to boldly act on our hope so that others may see hope in what we do and how we do it. While Roman soldiers and Jewish leaders took pleasure in the vindication of their opposition to Jesus through the application of extreme violence, Jesus gave the crucified man next to him the promise of paradise. Here, at the end of the journey of the year, we can see beyond the horror to the hope. We can embrace the love of God that led Jesus to stand against the power of violence. We can live that love for others. It is fitting that this Sunday falls on what would have been our Festival of Hope weekend. The festival is an opportunity to contribute our time and dollars to make the world better for people in need. With the help of God and the example of Jesus, every day of our lives can be a festival of hope. Amen.